Good morning, everyone. Last week, we observed Pentecost. This week, on the church calendar, we celebrate Trinity Sunday. Earlier in this morning's service, we recited in unison the Apostles' Creed. In this creed, we declare our faith in all-powerful God the Father, the Lord of creation, God's only Son, Jesus Christ, and our Helper, the Holy Spirit. As we read through the Bible, we learn about our triune God. But there is no one verse that in itself explains this very important part of the doctrine that we believe. The closest verse that does this may be 2 Corinthians 13:13, where we read, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." This verse does stress the grace, love, and fellowship characteristics of our triune God, but it is not a verse that explains how the one true God we believe in is actually made up of three holy entities. This morning's lectionary readings of Exodus 34, verses 4 to 9, and Matthew 28, 16 to 20, talk about who this triune God is and the great promise that our God has given us. Let's look at both these points together this morning. And now shall we bow for prayer before we turn to our scripture. Our merciful and loving Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We thank you that on this day that we observed Trinity Sunday, each one of us, though we may be in different places, can join together as we worship you and learn from your scripture. You know us more than anyone else. You know what we need to hear. And so we ask that you would speak to each one and give us the words that we need to hear, the lessons we need to be shown, that we might be made more like Christ. Give us those words, whether they be words to lead us, to encourage us, comfort us, heal us, or words that lead to salvation. Give each one the words and the truths that they need to be shown this morning, we ask. And help me as your speaker to be faithful to the message that you want brought this morning, I ask. Guide me and give me your wisdom as I speak, I pray. May the Holy Spirit be given freedom to work in our hearts and minds, we ask. And may we put into action in the coming week what we have learned this morning. We give you this time. We ask that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn first to Exodus chapter 34 in the Old Testament, we'll be looking first at verses 4 to 9. Reading Exodus 34, 4 to 7 once more. So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first. And he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation." To understand the context and background of this chapter 34, we need to look briefly at the events that happened in chapters 32 and 33. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to meet God and is a long time returning to the people. The Israelites become impatient and ask the high priest Aaron to make them gods to go before them. As a result, Aaron made a golden calf for them in chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. And in this way, the first two of the Ten Commandments given to the people in Exodus chapter 20 were broken, as we see in Exodus 20, verses 3 and 4. When Moses saw how low the people had fallen and sinned in their lack of faith, he broke the two tablets of testimony received from God on Mount Sinai that had the Ten Commandments written on them. Chapter 32, verse 19. Moses was greatly disappointed in the great sin that the people had committed, but he hoped that God would have mercy on the people, and so he went up the mountain again to try and appease God. Verses 30 to 31. Moses intercedes on behalf of the Israelites, asking God to forgive the people's sinful act of disobedience. Verse 32. Then, in chapter 33, God commands Moses to lead the people and start off heading for the promised land, where the land flowed with milk and honey, as had been promised to Israel's forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Chapter 33, verse 1. Moses is a bit worried and wants to know who will go with him to help lead the people of Israel in the wilderness. Verse 12. And in response to this, God promises to be with Moses and to give the people rest during their travels in the wilderness. Verse 14. But the people's lack of faith made them forget this great promise, and when they lacked water and food, they began to complain and grumble. When Moses asked God to show him his glory, the Lord gives him this promise in chapter 33, verse 19. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. The five attributes of God declared here are also stated in chapter 34, verse 6. First, God is merciful and compassionate. Second, he is gracious. Third, he is slow to anger. Fourth, he is abounding in steadfast love. And number five, God is faithful. And God, who has all these characteristics, would be with Moses. And when God heard that Almighty God's presence would be with him to help lead the people, he fell before Holy God in worship. Moses then asks in verses 8 and 9 that the Israelites would be God's people as they headed towards the promised land together with God's presence. We read, and Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. Now turning to, in the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 28, and reading verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Verses 19 and 20 here are well known as the Great Commission. God the Father loves the world and mankind that he created. He sent his Son Jesus Christ into this world to be the Savior of mankind, and the Father entrusted Christ with all authority. All this was done to rescue and restore this world that had fallen because of man's first sin. Jesus, who had risen from the dead as the Lord of resurrection, gives the disciples that believed him this commission with his authority to be missionaries and witnesses for him. They were to baptize new believers in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they were to go out and teach all that the Lord Jesus had commanded. At the end of this great commission and sending out of those who would spread the gospel of Christ, we find a great promise declared to us by Christ. In the story of the people of Israel in Exodus and from Genesis to the New Testament, God's story of his plan of salvation always includes an often repeated great promise: the presence of the triune God would be with them. The phrase, "in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," shows the makeup of the triune God. Christ's workers are sent out to witness for the Lord as part of God's plan to restore the world he created. And in the work of witnessing and evangelism that the Lord's workers do for him, God has promised that his presence will always be with us. The promise, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." We have been promised that the presence of the Father, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will be with us always. And the words of the Great Commission are said not only to missionaries and pastors, but to all the believers who make up the church that is the body of Christ. Matthew 1, verses 21 to 23, records the birth of Jesus and how the baby being born would be the one to save mankind from their sin as part of Triune God's plan of salvation. For this reason, he was given the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This becomes the focus of what Matthew wrote about in his gospel. As we live as Christ's disciples and as his people in this world fallen into sin, the great promise that we need to keep in our hearts and minds is that God is with us at all times, wherever we may be. From the time of the Old Testament through the New Testament times, and in our daily lives even today, let us give thanks that God is present with each one who believes in Jesus as their Savior. And let us thank God for his being faithfully by our side at all times as we prepare now to have our time of communion. This morning is the first Sunday in June, so we will now have a time of communion. Some of you are worshiping by watching the YouTube video on our church's homepage. Others may have a time of worship using a CD that they received by mail. And some are also worshiping by listening to the recorded message that is also on our church's homepage. But no matter the time or place, we are all part of the same body of Christ, and we come to the communion table joining our hearts and minds together. Last week we contacted you by post or by email asking you to prepare some bread and juice so that we can have a time of communion even though we are not together at church. Now let us think upon our triune God for a short while. Let us think about how Jesus was sent into this world to provide a way of salvation, how he became the atonement for our sin, and how he died in our place on the cross. May we give thanks for the work of salvation done for us in God's love. And may we rejoice in Christ's triumphant resurrection from the dead on the third day, and that Jesus' Spirit lives today within each of us. In John 14:16, we have the promise of another helper. May we give thanks that this Holy Spirit is with us as we gather in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Give thanks to God that the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, Comforter, and Spirit of Truth, lives within our hearts, becoming a river of living water that flows through us. May we remember all these things and give God the thanks that he deserves as we come to the communion table. Shall we pray? Father God, our Savior Jesus Christ, and our helper, Holy Spirit, we praise your holy name. Lord, help us to live each day for you in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. And help us not to forget that your presence is with us at all times. We thank you that your presence gives us rest and peace. May the breath of our Helper, the Holy Spirit, breathe and fill us completely, we ask. Now we are preparing to come to your communion table with each of us in different places. Make this a special time that will be a blessing to each one who takes part. We thank you for your message this morning, and we pray all this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.